the salt of the earth, we are hospitable. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2. Hebrews 13, verse 2. Let's start in verse 1. He says, "Let the love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." That's what we want to talk about this morning. And there were a few people in the Bible that did entertain angels. They didn't realize it at the time. Maybe they did later. Can anybody name me one of them? Abraham. Who's another one? Lot. Those are the main two. I think there's Samson's parents. They did also. But we want to look at this morning. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. And being hospitable is important. There's a lot of the Bible says about being hospitable. It's something God requires of us. And there's a blessing in it for those we are hospitable to, but also there's a great blessing for us also. So we want to look at who we should be hospitable to. First, we'll look at strangers, since that's in our text there. We're also supposed to be to those in need. And then we're going to look at our number one obligation in hospitality is to the saints, the people that are Christians. So we want to be hospitable to strangers. It might be an angel, as it says here. Genesis 18:1, we're not going to read it, but there Abraham saw those three men walking by, and he ran up to them and he said, "Turn aside and let your servant get you a little water for your feet and then some bread to eat, and you can rest under the tree, and then you can go on your way if you like." And he did more than give them bread and water. He killed a calf for them and had it milk and curds prepared for them, and told his wife to cook some bread for them, and they feasted. And they told Abraham that Sarah was going to have a baby, and that's when she laughed and didn't think that was possible. And they went on their way. And then in the next chapter in Genesis 19, we have Lot, and two men came to Sodom where Lot lived. And they were going to stay the night in the square. And Lot was coming in from the gate of the city, and he saw these two men, and he said, "Come to my house and stay the night there and eat, and then in the morning you can go on your way." They said, no, we'll just stay here in the square." He said, "No, I can't stay here in the square. You need to come to my house." And they said, "Well, we'll stay here." And Lot wouldn't take no for an answer. And he wanted those men to be with him. And also he knew what kind of men were in that city. I'm sure he knew they wouldn't be safe there either. And we need to be persistent in our hospitality, because sometimes people want to be polite. They don't want to impose on us. But we need to insist that they come with us and be with us. And not just say, "Oh, that's all right." And maybe we're hoping they'll say no and they won't stay, because we really don't want to. But Lot didn't take no for an answer. He was truly hospitable, and he prepared a meal for them. And they had a feast, and then the men of the city surrounded the place where Lot was, and they said, "Send those men out so we can have sex with them." And Lot said, no, my brothers, don't do this thing. Do not act wickedly against them. I have two daughters who have never been with a man. I'll bring them out to you, and you may do as you wish with them, but don't harm these men that have come under the protection of my roof." And that's pretty hospitable. And a lot of times we look down on Lot for offering his daughters, and I wouldn't do that, but Lot was in a bad situation. Hundreds of men outside of his house, and he's one man, but he had brought these men into his house, and the custom of that time was, when somebody's in your house as a guest, it's your responsibility to take care of them, look out for their safety at whatever cost. I read one quote that said, if a man is traveling, he says, the murderer of the father was safe in the son's house because he had asked for a place to stay and he wouldn't kill him. But that's a little extreme, but that was Lot's attitude. And toward those men, he was hospitable. And many times we can, even though Lot, Peter says he was a righteous man, and he was, since Peter says he was. But a lot of times we think, oh, Lot, he's not a very good guy. He took the biggest piece of the pie from Abraham and offered his daughters and committed incest. But a lot of times we are not as good as Lot, and we wish people would just stay somewhere else instead of with us. But Lot was hospitable, and it may be for your own salvation. If Lot would have let those men stay in the square and just let happen whatever happened, I don't know, maybe God would have still had mercy on him, but I think God was doing a little test for Lot to see if he was a righteous man and would invite these men to be with him. We do need to use wisdom with this. I'm going to tell on my dad a little bit, but when my dad was first a Christian, I don't remember this because I wasn't around, but my mother told me the story. He would invite hitchhikers and all kinds of people he could find that needed some help come to his house. And then he married my mother, and my mom put up with that for a while, and he brought a man home one day, and mom fixed him a bed on the couch, and he ate, and he was over there sleeping, and dad said, just think, he could be an angel. And mom says, I don't think so. She said, angels don't smoke. So we have to use some wisdom. He doesn't do that anymore. So when your wife says, hey, it's time for him to go, you probably better start getting rid of him. And we've had a few people that they needed a place to stay, and they stayed a little long. My wife says, it's time for him to go. He needs to move on. So I say, okay. And I tell him, you've been here long enough, time for you to find another place to be. So use some wisdom. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man won't work, then neither let him eat. And it's not our responsibility to feed and clothe people that are lazy and don't want to do anything for themselves. But we are to be hospitable, and be hospitable to those in need. In Matthew chapter 25, 34 through 40. Matthew chapter 25, 34 through 40. Yeah, it is. No. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to eat. And I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So we're helping Jesus himself when we are hospitable to those in need. And it goes the other way there at the end of the chapter, that if we don't, he's going to say, you're going to go away into eternal punishment, there in verse 46. These will go into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So they didn't help those in need. They weren't willing to open up their home to somebody that they didn't know very well or a stranger. Jesus said, you're not going to be in my kingdom. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 16, 49 and 50. This also has to do with Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that they were very immoral people, but they were also very unconcerned about those in need. And we see that with those angels. The men were there. They were just going to stay in the square, but nobody offered them anything except for Lot. In Ezekiel chapter 16, 49 and 50, he said, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease, but she did not help the poor and needy. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore I removed them when I saw it. Furthermore, Samaria did not commit half of your sins, for you have multiplied your abominations more than they. Thus they have made your sisters appear righteous by your abominations which you have committed. Now, the subject here is Judah. God's telling them how wicked they are. And he said, you guys are worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. In Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, they had abundant food and careless ease, but they did not help the poor and needy. They didn't care about those people. And they were also terribly immoral, as we read from the story. But that was part of the reason God got rid of them. And in the United States, we have abundant food. And I don't know if we have careless ease, but we certainly have abundant food. And we have more food than we know what to do with. And our problems are not starvation and figuring out how we're going to get our next meal, but how to keep the pounds off and keep from getting heart disease and diabetes and all kinds of different things, because we have so much food. So don't be stingy with what you have. Let's look at Luke chapter 14, 12 through 14. Luke chapter 14, 12 through 14. As he also, and he also went on his way, went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have means to repay you. For you will be repaid as the resurrection of the righteous. So entertaining relatives and close friends, people I really enjoy being with, is that going to get me any credit with God? Not really. We should be hospitable to those people, but they're going to invite you over too. And Jesus said, that's your repayment. There's nothing wrong with being with friends and close relatives, and we should be, but he said, invite those that aren't going to pay you back. And if you invite someone over and they don't invite you back, then that should be a blessing for you, because God's going to pay you back. Don't have the attitude that, nobody invites me over. Why should I invite them over? We need to be willing to have people, even if they are not going to pay us back, and maybe they don't want to or they can't. But it's that's going to get credit with God. For not to be like Nabal in 1 Samuel 25. Nabal, he was a very rich man. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it was sheep shearing time. And that's a festive time. That's a time when you have a big feast and people come and visit and you have a good time. When we have a feast, you invite those people that you want to come. And we don't go to places where we're not invited, right? If you go to a wedding, you get a wedding invitation or a birthday party. You don't go to the birthday party unless you're invited in our culture. But this is a different culture. And I live in Lexington. There's a lot of Hispanics there. And if they have a party and you don't know them, you can go to their party and they don't care. I went to a birthday party a few times, and I was asking the guy, well, Enrique, some of you know him, and he was at a party for his daughters. And I said, do you know these people? And he said, no, I don't know who they are. He said, I think my sister might have invited them or something. But they were there at the party, and they were welcome to be at the party, and that's odd for us. But that was their custom at this time with Nabal. There was nothing unusual for David to ask what he asked. He sent 10 of his young men to Nabal to greet him. And he said, have a long life. Peace be to you and peace be to your house and peace be to all that you have. Now I've heard that you have shears. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David. And then verse 9, he says, when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all the words in David's name. Then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men whose origin I do not know? So David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. And Nabal had plenty. He could have shared, and it wouldn't have affected his wealth hardly at all. David, he was a man that was in need. He had 600 men with him, but he's running from Saul, trying to stay alive, keep from Saul from finding him and killing him, and also make a living and survive with his 600 men. And they're out in the wilderness of Paran, not a real hospitable place. And he had been good to the shepherds of Nabal. And at that time, there were raiders that would come in and kill the shepherd or capture him, maybe sell him for a slave, take the sheep. But just a few chapters later, we read about the Amalekites, where they made the raid on Ziklag, where when David went out to war with the Philistines, and they took everything from that city. And that's what the raiders would do at this time. But David's men kept him away from Nabal's shepherds. And his shepherds, they knew the risks when they were out there. And they were happy to have David's men there. And they knew what David's men could do. And when they saw what Nabal had done, they were worried. And one of the young men ran and told Abigail, his wife, and she was a good woman. It says she was a beautiful and intelligent woman, but Nabal, he was, see, how does it say it? Harsh and evil. What you, yours says worthless? Yeah, later she said he was worthless. But she was a hospitable woman. She didn't see them, but she knew what to do. And the young men knew things were going to be bad. As David, when he heard the news, he said, each one of you strap on his sword. We're going to kill every man that belongs to Nabal. And David was on his way. But Abigail met him. And let's read verse 18. It says, Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. She said to her young men, go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And she met David on the way, and she took the blame for what her husband had done. Even though he was wicked and evil, she looked out for the best of her husband and his men and saved his life. And she turned David's heart from killing Nabal and all that belonged to him. David thanked her for doing that. And she went home. She didn't say anything to Nabal. He was drunk. There's no sense in talking to a drunk. And so she waited till the wine went out of him. And then she told him what had happened. And it says his heart became like a stone. And 10 days later, the Lord struck him and he died. And then David heard about it and he said, the Lord has repaid him for his wickedness. And he sent a message to Abigail and asked her to be his wife. And she took the offer, and her and her 5 maidens left and went to be David's wife. And she says, behold, your maidservant is a maid to wash the feet of my Lord's servants. So she was a good woman. Even though she was intelligent, she was beautiful, she was willing to be hospitable and willing to serve. She wasn't like her husband. Nabal, all he could think of was himself. He said, shall I take my bread, my water, my meat that I slaughtered, give it to men whose origin I do not know? Did he know who David was? He said, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? There are many servants here, each breaking away from his master. He knew who David was. He accused him of breaking away from his master. David hadn't broken away from his master. His master tried to kill him several times, but he was just a selfish man, and God repaid him for his evil. And he'll repay us for our evil if we are selfish with what we have, and we don't want to share our bread and our water and our meat with people. So be hospitable. And it has great benefit for this life and the life to come. Now let's look at Luke chapter 16, 10 through 13. These are some pretty good verses, I think. Luke chapter 16, 10 through 13. He says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? I meant to read verse 9 also. It says, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by the means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into eternal dwellings. And Jesus had just told the story of the unrighteous steward who was squandering his master's possessions, and he was going to be fired. So he used his brain and he figured out what he was going to do, and he cut the bill of the people that owed his master, and so that they would accept him when he was fired into their house. And that's what Jesus says. Make friends for yourselves by the means of the wealth of unrighteousness. So use your money to make friends, basically. Not to buy them off, I'm not saying, but use your money wisely so that when the mammon fails, when your money is gone, then your friends will be willing to take care of you. And there is going to be a day when all of us that have money, our money is going to fail. Is we can't take it with us. We're going to leave it all here. And then they can receive us into the eternal dwellings, and we'll have the true riches, ones that are our own. Here, they're not really ours. When I die, if I have anything left, hopefully I can leave it to my children, but it'll be theirs. But sometimes people don't even have that. They can't leave anything behind, but you can't take it with you. It's really not yours. It's just on loan from God. But when you get to heaven, then you have what is really your own. It can't be taken away. Here the moth and rust destroy it, and thieves break in and steal. You can lose it. But in heaven, it's your own. And if we are hospitable, then that's laying up treasure in heaven. We'll be given what is really our own. In the rest of this chapter, Jesus tells the story about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had plenty, but he wouldn't share anything with Lazarus. He didn't use his wealth to make a friend of Lazarus. If he would have, Lazarus could have received him into the eternal dwellings. But as it was, Lazarus couldn't receive him. He couldn't be in Abraham's bosom. He didn't use his wealth to make a friend while he was here on the earth. And when his mammon, or his wealth of unrighteousness failed him, he was out. He was in torment for eternity. And we will be too, if we're not hospitable with what we have. And then the last thing, we're to be hospitable to the saints. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10, and this is our first responsibility in hospitality. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10. He says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of the faith." So he says, especially to those who are of the household of the faith. That's our first responsibility. And there's blessing in that. It helps us to have fellowship, as John was talking about. We need to have fellowship with one another. Sometimes other Christians are in need, but we get encouragement, they didn't get encouragement, and it's only good sense. If a church wants to grow and be prosperous, it has to be hospitable, and the people have to be hospitable to one another. Any businessman realizes the value of hospitality. People that have great wealth, they build their houses so they can have guests and entertain guests. They have a kitchen that is, maybe they overdo it just for overdoing its sake, but a lot of them, most of them, they want to have guests and they want to entertain people. And some of them will build a house just for that purpose. Some of them, I know one man, he's a guide, and his purpose is, they don't really have paying clients, but he guides people for his boss because his boss has a lot of money, and he wants those clients on his side, and he wants them to buy from him and do business with him. So he has properties solely for the purpose of entertaining guests. And we're to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, and take a lesson from the world. Jesus said, take a lesson from that unrighteous steward. He was smart enough to use that money so that people would want to be with him, and we should do the same as Christians. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, 9 and 10. He says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So that is our responsibility as a Christian, to be hospitable. Mary and Martha, they were hospitable to Jesus, and that was a great blessing for them, a great blessing for Jesus. Peter, he stayed with Simon the Tanner. We see many examples of hospitality in the Old Testament. And I appreciate the hospitality of people. Every year we stay with Ken and Elena and Hastings at the rally, and there's seven of us and two of them, so that's a lot of work for them. So, but maybe they complain to somebody, but I don't think they do. But but it's nice to be able to stay with other people and try to be a good guest. Proverbs, I can't remember what verse it was. I had it written down back here and skipped over it. But he says, let your foot Rarely be at your neighbor's house, lest they grow weary of you and hate you. So don't overstay. Proverbs 25:17, that's the verse. Be a good guest, and if you're a large number of people like we are, maybe help out with the meals or something. Take something along. Irene, she's not here, but she's a good guest to have too. She always helps out. Every time she comes to our house, she has some kind of gift for us. You don't need to bring me a gift if you come to my house, but be a good guest. Be someone that's appreciative of your host. Try to make their life as easy as possible, and don't be a burden. But be hospitable. Hospitality is for our salvation. If we don't want to be hospitable, we won't be in the kingdom. We'll be like Nabal. God will repay us for the evil that we have done. But if we're hospitable, He'll repay us for the good that we have done also. So thanks for your attention.